We are so excited to announce something brand new here at Bayshore Community Church. Available now on any of the app stores, either Apple or Android or even Amazon, is the exciting Bayshore Church app for your mobile device. Now, this app is chock full of content for you to use to engage with Bayshore. There's a sermon archive where you can browse past messages from both campuses. There's ways for you to sign up for classes, for events, for small groups. There's events calendar so that you don't miss anything that's happening. There's even a Bible reading section where you can get daily updates on where we are reading in the Bible. Also, this app has a great new giving feature, a very sleek and efficient way to easily give anytime you like and also have reoccurring gifts. So be sure to check out our app. You can go to bayshorecc.org/app. That's bayshorecc.org/app. And find links to download the Bayshore Church app.
Well, hey, welcome to week two of my big fat mouth. And I'm just curious, is anybody still rocking your orange wristband from last week's complaining talk? Come on, let me see them, Okay, has anybody got a little rubber burn from switching so much? I do, okay, and if that's you, if you got a little rubber burn from switching so much, don't feel bad. I hadn't even left the basement last week, and I haven't left here, and I had gotten a notification on my phone that I was tagged in a Facebook post, and let me show you what the Facebook post said. It was from Sarah. Sarah says, I've been sitting in traffic for less than 3 minutes, and I've switched my bracelet twice. This is going to be a long ride to Dover. Oh, and if you're completely confused right now, okay, it has to do with last weekend's talk about complaining. And we did this thing as a church that every time we complained last week, we switch wrists. So who switched a lot? Anybody? Yeah, all right. So here's the deal. If you missed last weekend, you can catch up on Facebook through our podcast, through the Bayshore app, and you can listen to all that and what we talked about. And that whole thing with Sarah, her switching wrists in her car, that is why we don't have bumper stickers for Bayshore. Right there, that's the answer. Anyway, before we go any further, I want to say what's up to Bayshore Online, and today I want to give a shout out to Jim Stinchcomb. And Jim is one of our partners, and he moved out to Colorado on Monday, and maybe you don't know who Jim is. Here's a picture of Jim right here. Jim's coming up. There he is. He's the not blurred one there on the end, and maybe you recognize Jim because Jim was in the parking lot. He was the guy kind of directing traffic out in the parking lot, and you know, hopefully Sarah didn't run over him in the parking lot. But can you all just get a little rowdy all the way out to Colorado? Give Jim some Bayshore love and get a little rowdy for him right now. Come on, yeah, Jim. Woo! That's awesome. All right. So last weekend we talked about complaining, and I want to introduce today's topic with a story. Okay, so a few weeks ago, my mom gave me a call, and she said, is it okay if I swing by sometime this week and pick up your kids and take them to day school for you? Now, that would cut off about 45 minutes from my morning commute once I go from my house to Gumboro back here. Okay, so I said, Mom, is it okay? Like, is Hopkins Creamery the best ice cream? Like, yes, it is okay. Like, come get these kids. And so my mom came over one day a few weeks ago to pick up the kids. And so I had to convert or change my car seats from my car and put them into her car. And there was some complaining that went on with that. But I had to switch wristbands. So I got the car seats in my mom's car. And then me and my mom, we were just talking in the driveway while my kids were running around, you know, playing. And at one point, my kids disappeared. And I couldn't see or hear my kids. Now, parenting rule of thumb, if you can't see or hear your kids, they're getting in trouble 100% of the time. And so we're standing in the driveway talking, and I heard this like light knocking. And I didn't think much of it, but my mom was like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know, but we were in the middle of conversation, so we kept talking, but that noise kept on going, and it kept on getting louder. And louder and louder. And finally, my mom said, hey, should you go check on the kids? And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. And so I went to the garage, which is where the noise was coming from. And that's when I walked in and I saw my 4-year-old, Nora, and she had found my hammer. And she was hammering my brand new, never used power washer. Okay, and I'm talking, I don't know if this girl had been watching, I don't know if Nora had been watching like construction videos on YouTube or what, but she knew how to handle a hammer, and she was just nailing that thing, and it continues, okay? Because after I saw my daughter Nora with the hammer, I noticed my boy Nixon had sidewalk chalk, and he had sidewalk chalked my entire brand new, never used power washer. Now, I can't tell you what I said, because we're in church, but I can tell you what I thought, okay? I thought back to before I had kids, and how I used to criticize other parents when their kids would act up. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? So I remember when I was in college, I worked in the restaurant, at this restaurant as a busboy, and every Friday night this family would come in and they had two kids. And their kids were crazy. Okay? They were loud. They didn't listen. And the parents would give the kids Cheerios. And for the next hour, the kids would crush up Cheerios. And after they got done, there was Cheerio dust everywhere under the table for the busboy to clean up, who was me. And so this happened every Friday night. And every time I would be cleaning up all that Cheerio dust, I got to thinking. In my kidless days, I would think, can you believe how these parents parent those kids? Like if they want to parent their kids that way, they might as well just send their kids to prison right now. Because that's where they're going to end up. Like, I can't believe how these parents parent their kids. And I thought, man, when I have kids, my kids aren't going to do this because my kids are going to act right. Because I'm going to parent them right. They're going to be too busy saying, yes, daddy, can I power wash your house, daddy, to be getting in any trouble. Okay. And those were in my kidless days. Now I have kids. And I wish my kids weren't just getting Cheerio dust everywhere. My kids instead have a hammer and sidewalk chalk. And so I used to criticize other parents until I had kids. Can anybody relate to that right there? Yes, hands all the way up. I like that. And so today, we are going to talk about criticism. And, you know, maybe for you, you know, you might argue about what criticism is. So let me just help define it, what criticism is, so that you and your spouse don't get an argument on the way home about this. So we'll put this on the screen. Criticism is the critical, nitpicky, unkind and cruel things that we say to each other. Now, what I'm not talking about is constructive feedback that you give somebody to help make them better because you love them and you do it in a caring way. Okay, no. We're talking about the critical, nitpicky, unkind and cruel things that we say to each other. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Right now, some of you are like, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Pastor Joel. The Lord has answered my prayers because my wife, Thelma, she needs to hear this message. And I'm going to send a link to my neighbor because he's been criticizing my garden gnomes again. And so, like, thank you. Okay, but wait. This series is called My Big Fat Mouth, not Their Big Fat Mouth. Okay, so today is about you. So let me see your elbows. Elbows up, elbows up. These are not a weapon today, people. None of this. Right here. Keep them to yourselves, okay? And so let's talk about criticism. What's strange about criticism is hard to see in the mirror. A lot of times, like, we know we hate it when people criticize us, but a lot of times we don't even realize it when we do it to someone else, okay? Criticism is like bad breath. You can smell it coming out of someone else's mouth. But you have a hard time smelling it coming out of your own mouth. And here's what's interesting about criticism. A lot of times we think, well, I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling the truth. I'm like on a truth crusade, and I am just like, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not lie, so I don't lie. I just tell the truth. And you think, well, I wouldn't criticize them if they were a little nicer. I wouldn't criticize them if they weren't such an idiot with their money. I wouldn't criticize them if they didn't put garden gnomes all over the yard where I had to see them. I'm just telling the truth. And here's the thing. Just because it's true doesn't mean that it's not criticism. And so I'm going to do a little criticism poll, the audience poll, and you got to play along with my games, and I need you to raise your hand and don't lie because you're in church, okay? So has anyone here ever criticized what someone else wore before? Wait, gosh, I got more options. You're like, that's me. I like the honesty, but I got a list here, so we're going to catch everybody. I love our church. Okay. Have you ever criticized what somebody wore before, or how somebody parents their kids, or a post somebody put on social media, or where somebody went, or where somebody went on vacation because you're like, I know they can't afford to go to that place. Or have you ever criticized how someone else drives? Does this catch anybody? Let's go. Put our hands up. Who went 5 for 5? You passed, man. Me too. Look, we all criticize. And what I've noticed that's interesting about criticism is not only for me, I've noticed that criticism is not good, but not only that, I've noticed that I'm normally wrong about the things I criticize. Like, for instance, okay, several years ago, me and my buddy Andy, we were driving to lunch, and he was like an Apple product fanatic at that point in his life, and so he was on like his iPhone 2 or whatever it was called back in the day, and he was on his phone, and he was like, oh, Apple just announced its newest product, and he was kind of freaking out about it. I was like, well, what is it? And he said, it's called the iPad. And he's like, it's like a giant iPhone. Isn't that amazing? And I was like, no, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Who is going to use a giant iPhone? Me, apparently. I remember thinking, okay, people who drove minivans were people who just kind of gave up on life. Okay, now I love our minivan. It's got 14 cup holders. You press buttons and the doors open, and there's cherry or dust in it, but I'm not even worried about it. We love our minivan. Another thing, another example, about 10 years ago, my buddy Phil, who is our bass player, he came home from California, and he was wearing skinny jeans. And I thought, you couldn't pay me enough money to squeeze into a pair of those. And right now, I don't even have circulation in my toes. You know, like, and so I'm normally wrong about the things I criticize. Has this ever happened to anybody in the room? Yes, some of you guys. So it's one thing to criticize the skinny jeans and iPads and minivans. It's a whole nother thing when we criticize each other. And so I want to show you one of the most famous verses in the Bible, but then I want to show you the verse right next to it, which I wish was a little more famous. It's in Galatians 5, 14 through 15, and if you don't have your Bible or a mobile device, no worries, it's on the screen. Here's what it says. It says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command. All of it can be summed in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you ever heard this verse, say heard it. Okay, we've heard this verse. We like this verse. It makes us feel good. But let me show you its not so famous partner, which goes right next to it. In verse 15, it says, but if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. In other words, guys, we need to love each other. And when we're constantly critical with our words, when we're nitpicky and we're cruel and we're unkind, that's not love. That's not good. Guys, that's destroying us. And I don't know if you noticed, but critical words can destroy your marriage. It can destroy your relationship with your children. It can destroy your influence as a Jesus follower to your coworkers, because maybe you're the only Jesus follower they know. And if you're super critical, it can destroy that influence. And so it says, beware, beware, beware of destroying one another. Now, let me show you a verse that I love. It's in Proverbs 12, 18. And I love this verse because it shows us the two kinds of people that me and you can be, okay? It says this. It says, some people make cutting remarks. Now, you guys know what a cutting remark is. It's like when you're talking to your grandma and she says, hey, honey, did you lose your phone? And you're like, no, granny. Why? Well, because you haven't called me in 2 weeks. I could have been dead. It's a cutting remark. It's a granny burn. Okay. So, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. In other words, you can cut people with your words, and you can heal people with your words. And let me tell you why this is a massive deal, okay? Because you have no idea how a single word of criticism can cut somebody down and can stick with them for years. But here's the good news. You have no idea how a single encouraging word can build somebody up and can change their life. You have no idea how a single critical word can cut somebody down and stick with them for years, but you have no idea how a single encouraging word can build somebody up and can change their life. You can cut people with your words, and you can heal people with your words. Now, I'm like you all. I've had both of those things happen to me. And so let me tell you all a story, and this story is the truth. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth, all right? What I'm about to tell you, you probably aren't going to believe. It's true, though. I am an introvert. It's true. Like, full-on introverted, okay? Everywhere in my life, except for in this basement, I am an introvert. So if I ever see you out in public at the grocery store and I'm acting socially awkward, it's not you, it's me. I am an introvert. And so years ago, before I was the campus pastor here, I was the business administrator at our Millsboro campus. And I liked that job because I could just sit in an empty office, just me and my spreadsheet friends. It was a good time. Just hung out in there. And so our Millsboro team, though, for years, they would ask me to get up on the stage and do announcements. And I would be like, no. Wait, let me pray about it. Yeah, God says no. Like, I would not get on the stage because I didn't want to get up on the stage and die or something. And so finally, one day, my dad was just like, hey, Joel, you're doing the announcements this Sunday. I was like, wait, can I do the prayer thing? And he's like, no, I prayed about it. You're doing the announcements this Sunday. And that whole weekend leading up to that, I couldn't sleep. I was nervous. It was terrifying to me. And so I finally got up on the stage, and it was bad, you guys. I don't even know what I said, but I know I talked way too fast. I had like the sweaty armpit things happening. And I just looked awkward on the stage. And if you don't believe me, this week I actually found a screenshot from the video the very first time I did announcements at our Millsboro campus. Do you guys want to see this? You can't unsee this once you see it. Okay, put it up there on the screen. That's for real. And I heard the hair comment over here. Those were good days right there. It was bad, you guys. And I know it was bad because as soon as I got off the stage from saying whatever I said, okay, I walked to the back. I was going to turn in my microphone to the production guys. And I walked by this grumpy guy that our church had. And you know, every church has a grumpy person. If you get rid of the grumpy person, then two more show up, okay? So we had this guy, and I walked by him, and he said, nice try. Not exactly encouraging words, you guys. It gets worse, okay? I got back to the booth, and the volunteer who was collecting my mic said, hey. And I said, oh, I might get an attaboy or something. No. He looked at me and he said, don't quit your day job. I was like, oh, you want your microphone? I'm going to go ahead and put it in the urinal in the men's bathroom. You can fish it out of there. But those words, years later, have stuck with me. People can cut you with their words. But let me give you the flip side of that, okay? The very first Sunday, I was the campus pastor here. That week, I was working on my very first message, and I was scared to death, and I was in what is now the Next Steps room, and I had no idea what in the world I was going to write. And I was thinking, you know, about that whole thing where the guy said, nice try to me, and all this. I'm like, what am I thinking doing this whole pastor thing? And that's when my dad surprised me, and he popped in. He opened the door, and he said, hey, before your very first Sunday, I just want you to know you are going to kill this. He said, I believe in you. God has been preparing you for this for your entire life, and I am so proud that you're my son. And I started believing those words that day. And the reason I can stand on this stage today is because of encouraging words like that that have helped me get through my own doubts and get through my own insecurities. You have no idea how a single word of criticism can cut somebody down and can stick with them for years, but you have no idea how much a single word of encouragement can build people up and can change their life. So my question for all of us is this. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Now, let me give you two options of people that we can be, okay? The first one, and we'll throw it on the screen if you're following along, is this, a fault finder, okay? A fault finder. Now, here's the deal. I think every one of us is a fault finder at some degree or another. Married people. Let me see your hands if you're a married person. Married people, okay. All right, hands down. Now, if you're single and the person you kind of thought was cute did not raise their hand, you're welcome. Okay, but for the rest of us, married people, we are fault finders. Just let me know if this sounds familiar, okay? I don't like the way you walk. Well, I don't like the way you chew your Cheerios. Well, I don't like the way you smell. Well, I don't like the jokes you tell. You've been telling that joke for the last decade. Well, I don't like the way you breathe when you're sleeping. Married people, this sounds familiar. Just so I don't get in trouble, give me a little pinky. Just a little pinky. Keep it close. You won't get in trouble. A few weeks ago, it was like 6 in the morning, and Stacy was getting up, and she was about to walk out the door to go to work, and I was still laying in bed sleeping, but I heard Stacy come over to my side of the bed, and I thought, oh, like get a little kiss here this morning or something. No. Stacy came over, and she just bent down real sweet, and she whispered. She said, hey, honey, I just want to point out that all the covers are on your side of the bed. Which means they're not on my side of the bed. Have a good day. That's it. Fault finder. But I looked, and all the covers were on my side of the bed. And so, married people, we can be fault finders. And let me just not pick on the married people. Let's broaden this, okay? So maybe for you, you say things like, well, I don't like the way that person parents. Well, I don't like that person didn't make a complete stop at the stop sign. Well, I don't like that you don't like Grotto Pizza. Well, I don't like that you don't like Nicola Pizza. Did you see that picture she posted on Instagram? She says she loves Jesus, but I'm pretty sure she just loves her body, because I'm just saying. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. We are fault finders. Now, some of you are like, no, not me. I am not a fault finder. And I just want to know by a show of hands and be honest, how many of you noticed that the word finder is spelled incorrectly here? Fault finders. I love setting people up. And we're not even going to fix it just to freak some of you guys out, okay? But let me tell you why we don't want to be fault finders, okay? In the Bible, there are several groups of people that are fault finders over and over and over again. Number one was the Pharisees. They're constantly pointing out to people what was wrong with them without ever giving them solutions. Number two was the devil. His nickname is the accuser. And so you got the devil and you have the Pharisees that were fault finders. Now, I have never in my life had anyone say to me, hey, Joel, you know what my dream is? I want to be like the devil. I'm messing people who I thought might be the devil. That's a whole side story, okay? But we don't want to be fault finders because the Pharisees and the devil are fault finders. And so why do we do it? And I think there's a lot of reasons we find faults in other people. And I think the main reason is we are insecure. Have you ever noticed that the very things you criticize in others are the things that are weaknesses in yourself? And so we sometimes criticize the way someone else looks, but that's just because we're insecure about the way we look. We criticize the way someone else parents, but that's just because we're insecure about our own parenting mistakes. We criticize other people's success, but that's just because we're insecure about our own success or a lack of success. And so we constantly are picking out what other people are doing wrong, but those are our very own insecurities. And I'm just going to shoot straight with you guys, okay? Because a lot of times when we are critical of other people, we tend to think, well, that just makes me look smarter. That makes me look like the expert. No, it makes you look insecure. It makes you look mean. Let me ask you this. Have you ever met a critical person you wanted to be like? You ever met anybody that you wanted to be like that was a critical person? No. We don't want to be like critical people. We don't want to be fault finders. Now, men in the room, all the men in the room, I need you to look up here, okay, men in the room. Because I wasn't going to do this, but I am going to read a verse in the Bible that's about critical ladies. And this verse could get us in a lot of trouble. Okay, so when I read this verse, fellas, Okay, how you react is either going to make or break your afternoon. Okay, so men, as I read this verse, you need to look forward. Don't nod. Don't elbow the person next to you. If you say amen, you're going to die and I can't help you, okay? Let's read God's word. Proverbs 21:19. It says, it's better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. Let's close in prayer. Oh, I don't even want to look in this direction because I'm guessing the person who said that is single. If they aren't now, they will be soon. But that verse is interesting. Now, if that verse offends you, you can email me at bodukes@bayshorecc.org. But look, this verse, it goes both ways. Okay, you could just as easily read this. It's better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining person. I've never met a critical person that I wanted to be like. And so maybe you're like me. You're kind of critical by nature. And you think you're justified to kind of pick people apart because you're right. And you can be a fault finder or you can be a hope dealer. A hope dealer with an H. Hope dealer. I just feel like I should point that out. Maybe especially for Jim in Colorado. I'm saying a hope dealer, Jim, okay? If that offends you, my email address is bodukes@bayshorecc.org. All right, hope dealer. Let's read Romans 15:13. It says this. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of what? Hope. May the God of what?
Hope
fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with what?
Hope
by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is hope right there. Now, the guy who wrote this, his name is Paul. If you read through a lot of his words, Paul was a hope dealer. He was constantly building people up instead of cutting people down. In fact, in one chapter, Romans chapter 8, I want to point out three things that Paul said to give us hope in just one chapter, because Paul is a hope dealer. In one chapter, Paul says, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. That's hope. Paul says, we are more than conquerors because of Jesus. That is hope. He says in the same chapter, nothing can ever separate you from God's love. That is hope. Do you want to be a hope dealer or do you want to be a fault finder? The devil was a fault finder. Jesus is a hope dealer, okay? Timothy calls Jesus our hope in the Bible. Paul in the book of Titus calls Jesus the blessed hope. Peter calls Jesus our living hope. The Pharisees constantly pointed out sin, and just know this, Jesus was not afraid to point out sin, but then he always offered hope. Let me show you another almost famous verse. Another verse is next to another famous verse. John 3:17. And put it on the screen. It says this. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Look, I don't know what you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you've heard that he's out to get you. He's out to just point out every mistake you've ever made. Jesus, though, is not a fault finder. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If that sounds like hope to anybody, just say hope. That's hope. And so what are you going to be? Are you going to be a fault finder or a hope dealer? I don't know about you all, but I want to be a hope dealer because I realize my words are powerful. They're powerful to my wife, Stacy. They're powerful to my friends. They're powerful to the people that I work with and do life with. They're powerful to my kids. Now, speaking of kids, there is one area of parenting that I'm feeling a little hopeless in right now, and that is getting my kids to go to bed at their bedtime. Can any parents relate to that? That's like, okay, so here's what happened. About a year ago, Stacy and I had this great idea that we were going to turn Nixon's bedroom into their playroom and that the kids would sleep together in the same room at nighttime. Experienced parents, we know now that that was a bad idea. Because every single night, my kids are great kids, besides the hammer and the power washer thing. Okay, they're great kids. But at every night at about 8 o'clock, they get like possessed by evil spirits or something. And so like Nixon, he may or may not be streaking at 8 o'clock. And like they need to have about a half a gallon of water to drink at 8 o'clock, which creates more problems about 15 minutes later, which creates more problems because Nixon is two and we're working on that whole situation. And when we finally get him into the bedroom, sometimes the lamp will just fall over and we'll go in there and it fell over by itself. We hear knocking on the walls sometimes, which sounds like they're practicing with a hammer or something. I don't know, okay? And the point is, don't convert your kid's bedroom into a playroom and have your kids sleep in the same room, okay? That's the point. But our nighttime routine is a little crazy, but I love part of our nighttime routine. Okay, because there's some things that we do every night. I do these stretches with the kids. We do a little yoga session, and I'm trying to, like, you know, get stretchy, and they're working with me on that, and they're doing it. And so we stretch. We read the Bible together. We pray. We brush teeth. After we do all that, I lay on the ground, and the kids, like, surf on my back, and we have a great time. But my favorite routine that we do every night is at some point during bedtime, I pull each kid aside, and I get down on their level. And for instance, for Nora, I look at Nora in her eyes and I say, hey, Nora, if I could pick any little girl in the entire world to be mine, and I could choose from every little girl in the world, and I could only pick one, do you know who I'd pick? And we've done this for years. And so at this point, she's like, you'd pick me. And I'm like, I'd pick you because you're mine and you're special and God has amazing plans for you. And I do the same thing for Nixon. You know, Nixon, if I could pick only one little boy in the entire world to be mine, I'd pick you because you're mine, you're special, and God has amazing plans for you. Now, if we ever have a third kid, it totally jacks the whole thing up. But I want my kids to know in a world that is constantly cutting people down, in a world that is hopeless in so many ways, that they have an earthly dad that is crazy about them. They have an earthly dad that loves them so much, but more importantly than that, I want them to know that they have a heavenly father that has amazing plans for them. I want to be a hope dealer to my kids, to my wife, Stacy, to my friends. I want to be a hope dealer to you guys. Every single Sunday when you walk out of here, I want you to walk out with more hope than when you walked in, because Jesus is hope. That is the win for me. That's what gets this introvert on the stage, okay, that Jesus is hope. I don't care what people have said to you and criticized you about. You have a heavenly father who got down on your level through his son Jesus, and he wants to give you a message today, and the message is this. If I could pick anybody to be my son and my daughter, I would pick you. I'd pick you. I'd pick you. I'd pick you. I'd pick every one of you because you're mine. And you're special and have amazing plans for you. That's what your Heavenly Father wants you to know. So no wonder Timothy calls Jesus our hope. So, man, I didn't know I was going to be a wreck up here. I'm going to draw it in, get it back together. So maybe you're super critical. And maybe you have no idea how your words are cutting other people down. And how it's affecting your relationships, how it's affecting your friendships, how it's affecting your influence, how it's affecting other people's self-esteem. And I just want to remind you of this. You have no idea how much a single word of encouragement can build someone up and can change their life forever. Words are powerful. It's why I'm standing on this stage today. And so maybe you have a kid who's not the neatest kid in the world, okay, but he's got an amazing heart. Tell him. Man, I love how you love other people. You are just the best, and just build them up. I mean, maybe you have a roommate who never washes their dishes, and now you have an ant infestation problem, and you want to criticize your roommate. I know this because this happened at some of my friends' houses in college. And you want to criticize them, but you love that person. Tell them, man, I'm so glad you're in my life. You are amazing. And the next time you're getting home from work, just maybe stop by Superfresh and get some ant traps or something, man. I don't know. Maybe your husband is not the most organized person in the world. Instead of telling him what he isn't, tell him what he is. Say, you're an amazing dad. I love to watch you raise our kids and just build them up. Maybe your husband is never going to win Yard of the Year award because he hates cutting grass and he has garden gnomes out there or something. I don't know. But next time he's cutting grass, just open up the window, ladies, and yell out there and say, you look so sexy in those black tube socks. You know, with your pleated khaki shorts, mowing the lawn. Like, I like what I see, you know, like, I don't know. Like, if you think something good, build them up. If you think something good, give hope, because we are hope dealers. But on the flip side, if you think something bad, kill it. Destroy it. Beware of destroying one another. Okay, you have no idea how a single word of encouragement can build somebody up and can change their life forever. Words are powerful. Something my boy Nixon loves to do, especially when it's bedtime, is he loves to play the guitar and sing. And he only knows one song, okay, and he learned it back here with Bayshore Kids from Miss Casey, and he sings the song all the time. And normally, when he's singing the song, he's in just like tighty whities and cowboy boots. It's true, like we have like the naked cowboy living at our house. So the other day, a few months ago rather, he was playing guitar, and I took a picture of him, and I thought I'd show you the picture of Nixon playing guitar. That's the best right there. And let me show you the song, or I'm going to imitate the song he does and how he does it, because he always stomps his foot with his guitar. And he says, and this is the song he learned here, he said, I am somebody because God loves me. I am accepted just the way that I am. And that's the only lyric he knows. He's been singing that song for about a year, just like that, okay? And it's amazing. I love it when he sings that song. But look, in a world where we're constantly criticized and we feel like nobody, I think Nixon's song is a reminder to all of us that you are somebody. And you are somebody because God loves you. You are accepted just the way that you are. And look, maybe the criticism that's been said about you is accurate. Maybe you have blown it. Maybe you have made some big mistakes and have sinned. And I just want to say, welcome to the club. Because of grace and because of Jesus, you are accepted. Jesus didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but to give us hope. To give us hope. And so you just need to know that you are accepted because God loves you. You are somebody just the way that you are. And so who are we, guys? We are hope dealers. We're not fault finders. We point people to Jesus. We don't just point out sin without giving solutions. We build people up. We encourage, because you have no idea how a single word of encouragement can build somebody up and can change their life forever. So who do you want to be? And my question is, who do you want to be? I want us to be a church full of hope dealers. Let me pray for you guys. If you struggle with criticizing other people and you want to get this under check and in check, would you just slip up your hand? And I imagine that's going to be every one of us. We struggle with criticism. And so as I'm praying, I'm going to pray for you who raise your hand, God. We just pray for those who are critical people, that you'll help us. You'll help us to mind our words, to know that the words that we say can encourage people and can build them up, but they can also hurt people and stick with them for years. And every person in this room is a product of both of those things. And so God, help us to know how important our words are and that they are powerful. And secondly, if there's anyone here today who you didn't know that you are accepted, and you didn't know that God loves you, and you didn't know that Jesus didn't come to condemn you, but to give you hope, and you heard that today, and you want to accept Jesus and start a relationship with him, we want to celebrate that with you. And so if that is you, would you just raise your hands right now while no one's looking around, no one's pointing you out? I see hands going up in this place. For those who just raised their hands and those who are Jesus followers, we're just going to say this prayer out loud to start your journey with Jesus. And so if you've already accepted Jesus, would you just help me along with those who just raised their hand? And let's say this together. Dear Jesus, I believe you are God's son. And I believe that you died on the cross for all my mistakes. But you walked out of that grave alive to give me hope, to let me know that I am accepted. And today, I accept you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, can you just give it up for those who made faith decisions right then? It's amazing. If you just made that decision on your program, there's a section that says go further. Just check off that you accepted Jesus and put your name on the other side of it and just turn it in to the information center over there or give it to one of our volunteers. We just want to follow up with you and celebrate with you. And we're just so excited for that decision you just made. And for everyone who's a first-time guest, if you've never been here before, make sure you take that connection card and stop by our VIP area. They're going to give you a goodie, a freebie, and we just want to say thanks for being here.